Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Good evening, brother.
Great. And Pastor Cox, how are things in Oklahoma City?
Well, wonderful, Brother Richard, and greetings to you up there in Wyoming, and Ralph, you in Missouri, and here I am in Oklahoma. It's amazing, this modern world we have, isn't it?
It is. Well, as usual, Ralph, I'll turn it over to you, and as you get your callers, I'll sure let you know, brother. We'll be listening in.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Beautiful day in the Ozarks, Pastor. I'm pretty sure that you had about the same weather. It's starting to feel a little like fall around here.
Oh, yes, and there's something about the air. It's felt lighter somehow, and cool. It's just a beautiful day. Yeah, fall's right around the corner, where we know it. And how is it the whole week has gone by since we last did this, Ralph? It seems like it was just yesterday.
It does. And when you let me know who was located today, I was thinking, oh yeah, it is Wednesday. Well, we do want to appreciate everybody for tuning in to Hope is Alive. I'm Ralph, and this is Pastor Cox here, and we're here to bring talk about the fantastic work of the Holy Spirit and the power that Jesus has given to Christians to go out and help set captives free. I know that this Monday, Deliverance Ministries was closed. They usually close down for the holiday weekends when there's a Monday to give their team ministers time to spend time with their family. But outside of that, Pastor, did you have a chance to minister to anyone out of the office?
I did not. Actually, I was gone pretty much a whole week and over to Lake Tenkiller, and we had kind of a family reunion. There was about 10 of us over there, and it was a big, big weekend, homemade ice cream and the kids and just lots of fun. And a friend of one of my daughters has a 28-foot inboard boat, and it probably went 50 miles an hour. You could go that length of that 33-mile lake of Lake Tenkiller in eastern Oklahoma in no time. It was amazing. So, well, we had a big time, so I'm ready to get back at it and fight the good fight. Amen?
Amen. Fight the good fight. And that is what we're to do, and that's what this show is dedicated to, is to the testimony of those who have fought the good fight. And I was reading in our, it seems like every day on a Wednesday when I start reading our Bible reading plan, it seems like deliverance and the tools are there pop out to us. And today was Hebrews 1, chapter 1 through 4, and of course Hebrews 1:14 talks about one of the tools that Christians have at their disposal to use to fight against the forces of wickedness and darkness, and that is the ability to bring the flaming ministers, the flaming ministers, those servants, the angels, at our disposal that we were given the authority to just go ahead and call them down to put them to work for us. And that was something I had to learn at the change. I know Pastor has talked about that as well. When he first learned it, he was always asking the Heavenly Father to send him down, which there's really nothing wrong with that. But the great thing is the Battlefield Commission says, no, you have charge over them. You put them to work.
That's right. We don't have to go to the general, so to speak. If we're a lieutenant or whatever in the Christian army here, we've been commissioned to speak directly and do it directly in His name, and that is an awesome thing to get hold of. It took me I was age 44 before I started learning about that, and that we have this amazing all power in His name as we direct that power. Praise God, we get victory. Now, sometimes those dark forces have rights that have been given to them by the person or their ancestors. Sometimes there's curses that need to be broken of various types. But we've learned about a lot of those doors. We've recognized 15 doors now that evil spirits can come through to torment Christians. And we go through a door-closing prayer before we get into ministry that deals with those 15 doors in a blanket kind of way to get them closed before we get into ministry. It made all the difference in the world as we started developing that door-closing prayer. So we, as a result, seldom see outcries. It's low-key normally and no big deal about it. Yes, people do yawn, cough, or burp some. They may feel something moving in their body. But that's no big deal. In fact, it's kind of nice in a way because you know something's coming out. and as a result, we find there's normally around 36 spirits that have been cast out of the person we're ministering to, and that's minimum with some people. So, my goodness, when those things are gone, it's the real person that's left now finally able to go forward in their life, doing their God-given destinies, using their God-given gifts. And I see that's why Jesus commanded believers to do this, like in Mark 16:17, because most people, even most Christians still, unless they've had this type of ministry, are probably still carrying a certain number of spirits trying to block their lives. So, hey, we got a big job to do. That's why we're on the radio tonight telling it and have a couple of testimonies coming up. Where they'll share what happened in their lives and what they've learned in this works of Jesus.
Amen. And, you know, it's something that maybe some of the listeners out there maybe tuned in for the first time or haven't really spent a lot of time listening to this program. When we say the spirits are out there, there's demons there. These demons can sometimes come on assignment just to harass and aggravate Christians. It means that when we say a Christian has a spirit or they have a demon affecting them, that they're wicked, they're evil, that they're not going to go to heaven or anything like that. It's just something that's been set there by the enemy to torment that person. Now, that could be a fear something. That could be insomnia. That could be some sort of addiction. And we know that Christians have these things because you can just talk to the average person out there. There is something that always seems to be hindering somebody to let them have that complete freedom that there is in Jesus. And these are the type of spirits that Pastor normally, you know, he talks about the 36 that normally come out. They have found that they're there. And it could be something as simple as suffering from migraines all the time to, you know, we've had a couple of testimonies before where the fear of a storm. I think that was last week, the gentleman last week. Anytime there was bad weather, he completely rerouted his entire life around that simple little fear. And those
yes, and by the way, Ralph, I talked to that person, and he enjoys the storms now. What a turnaround. And let's see, there was another fear he had. What was it? Besides the fear of storms. Well, it was fear of people, I think. It was a number of fear things. And he's told me already that how that's disappeared. So, again, that's why Jesus commanded believers to cast these things out, is so we can be free and go forward in our lives without these things blocking. And these things, these spirits, they do a good job blocking. They're seasoned at it. They've had many years go by as that where they've learned just how to do it with us. So, but the good news being from the cross, we have all power to deal with them. Luke 10:19. And as we speak that and declare it, that power goes forth.
Yeah, it doesn't say some power. It says all power, doesn't it?
I love that. Not 50%, not 75%, as I'm often saying, but ALL power, 100% power as we speak in Jesus' name. And that is so awesome that we have been given that. All Christians, it's not a special gift, it's normal Christianity. All Christians have that power if they've just learned to use it and even learn about the war. So many Christians, and I was one of them, again, I was born again when I was 13, but I was age 44 again before I got into this, and I had no idea, and there's so many Christians out there just like I was. And so, yeah, we've all got a long ways to go in sharing.
And the great thing about it is you don't have to go to any kind of special school for it. Don't have to go to years of seminary training of some sort. You just have to pick up your Bible, read it, and believe it.
Amen. And I do have a book out that has the steps we've learned to do over these years called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus that is available through Scriptures for America. And it's tells it pretty well. Not just a book, it's really a manual that has these steps that are time-tested. So it's exciting. You guys just ordered another case of books from us.
Well, praise the Lord. That means it's getting out. That means it's getting out. Also out there, Remnant, you can go to deliveranceusa.com, and most of these tools that are available in the book are on the website there. There's video links for training. There's video links for different prayers to help you overcome certain things in your life that are not in the book. There's just a wealth of resources. You've got to get the problem list there. So if you want to be doing these things on your own, you have access to the problem list there. They have a basic steps checklist that you can go down. Take advantage of a man's 38 years of experience where he has figured out what's the best process for doing this and doing that, and why work harder, work smarter. That's why I say it. So I see something that's been working for 30 some odd years, I'm gonna follow those steps. Now I might come across something that says, hey, this might work in this, especially with the Holy Spirit leading, but a system almost always wins out versus just randomly doing something.
Well, yes, and we're always learning some things, but overall, what we've got in the book, those steps will work with the majority of people. And so, I mean, if you can get those steps down, you can minister to thousands of people out there and do very well and see them get set free.
And it is pretty simple, that door closing prayer and the breaking of soul ties really does a number on the spirits and their legal rights to be there. I know that you've talked about that when you first found out about deliverance. You said you went to a bookstore and you saw the books everywhere, and I can kind of testify to that the same way, is because I had never heard of deliverance, and once I found out about it, I'm seeing it everywhere. I'm coming across it through this link and that link, or this testimony, that testimony through the internet. So it's always been there. It just has to be opened up to it. And Pastor, we have our first caller on the line. Alan, are you there?
Hello, Alan.
Hello. Is this Eric?
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Alan. Can you hear us?
Oh,
okay?
You're quite welcome.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm excited for you to share. I had talked to Alan earlier, and he told him about the show tonight, and he was happy to come aboard here and kind of tell how he first heard about deliverance when he was born again, how he first heard about deliverance, and share any experiences. So, Alan, why don't you go ahead? Ralph is on here from Missouri as well. We're co-hosts, and just go ahead and share.
I first became acquainted with the deliverance ministry through a very, very strong warrior by the name of Sister Teal. Oh, my. She was a blessing. Anyway, she wanted to go to the deliverance ministry, and so we loaded up in her car and went to Oklahoma City. What followed after that is just unbelievable. Everett asked me today to share the difference before and after the deliverance ministry. And here's what I have noticed. I've made some notes. The first thing I noticed after the deliverance was the presence of Jesus and his unconditional love for mankind. The second thing I noticed was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then came spiritual language. Now, I don't know if everybody that's listening is familiar with spiritual language. Some are, some aren't. I could also recognize, when I looked into people's eyes, I could recognize and understand and see the evil looking out of their eyes. And that's, yeah, it's kind of unsettling from time to time. I understood the mercy of the Holy Spirit. I stopped criticizing, ridiculing, condemning. That went away instantly. Here's something else I thought was kind of interesting. I stopped fist fighting.
Well,
anyway, my mind no longer scrambled, and my self-confidence as a man returned. That's something I hadn't experienced in a long, long time. I realized that colors also had a vivid, very vivid change. My senses were back to normal, and I understood and exercised kindness to animals and other people. I also experienced some other interesting things. Appliances quit breaking down. Vehicles got better mileage. The clothes lasted twice as long. And something that I don't understand to this day is people showed me respect. Are y'all there?
Well, they could see the light in you. Yeah, they could see the light in you, Alan, beaming out. That's probably one of the steps. that happened. Yeah, I understand that. You sounds like you do have the gift of discernment.
Thank you. You know,
well, go right ahead.
We either serve Jesus Christ or we serve the adversary. You take, for example, a coin. It doesn't make any difference what size. If it's a quarter or a silver dollar, one side they call heads, the other side they call tails. If you turn it up edgeways, there is no gray area. For example, the head side of it, to me, represents peace, love, light, and life of God Almighty. And the opposite side of that is kill, steal, and destroy. And as a result of all this, I have come to learn the different tools that Satan uses to, for example, parasites. He uses parasites to bring on different illnesses and diseases, and then death. Well, Father's not death. He was never the author of death.
Amen. Life. Our Jesus came that we'd have life.
Peace, love, life.
Go ahead, Alan. Amen. Do you remember any other specifics that you saw changes in your life when you had ministry? And how long ago was that now, Alan?
We first met at our first meeting of Deliverance Ministry in 1995. And I know exactly where I was living at that time, in Woodward, of course, but in town on a street called Comanche.
How did we meet? I don't remember. Maybe it was when you came to Deliverance Ministry.
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, it's been, 20 years again? Over. Yeah. So yeah. I don't remember either, but do you remember any other changes that took place? It's been a long time ago now, but, it's always interesting for people to hear, you shared some of it there.
Yes, sir. I became more in tune with my family. I have learned through the gift of the Holy Spirit to edify and uplift my wife every day and my children. We have three children. People today, in my opinion, get caught up in life and they forget to do the most important things. But the biggest thing that really made a difference in my life was feeling the unconditional love of Jesus. Now, he ate with the lepers. He was an exceptionally good sport. I wouldn't do that. But my point is this. If he's got unconditional love for us, no matter what our sins, then we should be, as practicing Christians, there's a difference there, in my opinion, as practicing Christians,
yes,
we should also feel the same toward each other. It's like, for example,
amen,
war. In my opinion, and only my opinion, war is nothing more than wholesale murder of most likely innocent people. I've never understood that. But
yeah,
I've learned a lot.
You know, the enemy has to be involved in all that, that's for sure, and speaking lies into the leaders' heads, causing all this havoc. That has to be happening. Well, you live in Woodward, Oklahoma, which is about 140 miles northwest of Oklahoma City, and do you see much deliverance taking place there at Woodward?
No, sir. You remember here, I don't know, Everett, it's been a couple of years ago, I called you and asked, you know, what do I need to do? How can I go about this? Well, no. In reply to your question, no. Father instructed me to go to the head of the Ministerial Alliance with the idea of a deliverance ministry in this town under the umbrella of the churches. Well, I did what I was told, and it met with great resistance. And to this day, we do not have a deliverance ministry in Woodward, Oklahoma. So,
well, maybe Woodward,
you know,
maybe Woodward doesn't
need to work out, because I I do not have the power or the authority either. I have the desire to participate, but we do not have a deliverance ministry in Woodward. We need one.
I was facetiously saying maybe Woodward doesn't need any help there.
Say again.
That's a joke. I was just saying maybe Woodward doesn't need any ministry out there.
You
well,
rascal.
As we know, every place needs it. Well, Alan, you from time to time.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
From time to time, you brought people down to Oklahoma City, as I remember.
That is correct. I think it's the greatest thing that I take my hat off to you, first of all, because I truly believe that you are doing what Father has led you to do, and I think you have been given the gift to see it happen. Secondly, there should be, in my opinion, there should be a deliverance ministry in every town that has a church. That's, you know, my opinion. I see a need.
Yes. Yes, and let's face it, it's hard for many churches to get into this because they are busy running the church, which is a big job, and they don't have the time because, you know, we'll spend 4 or 5 hours with people on Monday night, and even when we do one-on-one ministry, often 4 or 5 hours, and it takes a long time to work through all those steps and the doors that have been opened and traumas that have happened in a person's life that allowed spirits to come in. And so it's I can see why a lot of pastors aren't. They can't take on another project, even though this is a major works of Jesus that he commanded us to do. So the practicality side of it, of course, there will be certain lay people in churches that will rise to it. But also, you know, here we are, Deliverance Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit that I formed in 1984, and we're not connected to any church. We're totally independent, and the people that help me here in the ministry are from churches all over the Oklahoma City metro. And the people that come from ministries are from everywhere, many from out of state. And so it's just everything's independent. And we find ourselves as a special commando unit, special ops in the body of Christ, ministering to the church at large. But I agree with you. There should be a deliverance ministries in every town. There isn't any reason that people have to travel out of town and even out of state. We have people come from states where they say there's no ministry like deliverance going on in their state. And especially in the Northeast and the North, so many states don't have anything like this. So the enemy, you know, is behind it in blocking Alan. And he's done a pretty good job. But we got a job of telling it and spreading it as we can.
Well, Father, Hello? In my opinion, always has a backup plan. Of course, if Father has a plan, Satan's got a plan. Well, guess what? Father can always best Satan. You know, I'm reminded, wasn't it Moses who threw the staff on the ground and it turned into a snake? Am I right in thinking that?
Yes.
And then the warlock or the Satan follower throwed his staff down, and it turned into a snake, and God's snake ate his snake.
right. and that's what we have from the cross today, even more so, since Moses didn't have Jesus, and we do. We're on this side of the cross, and so we can really get after it. Those poor people in the Old Testament, they didn't have much to fight with compared to what we have, and we're really blessed with what we've been given from the cross.
Well, I think, this is just my opinion, I think that the reason more people, there's two reasons they don't come to a deliverance ministry. The number one reason is because they've watched too many scary movies. The second reason is I don't think people really want to admit that they have inborn demons. It's just, you know, in my estimation, but I think they should also understand that due to the unforgiven sins of Adam and Eve, that's how all this business got started anyway. Father gave them 120 years to confess of their sins and come back to them, and I can't find anywhere that they ever did do that. Unless you know something mm-hmm. that I don't know. But anyway, Jesus is the answer. And I'm here to tell you,
amen.
Satan's not shadowing you or any listeners. I'm talking to listeners. If Satan is not shadowing you, then that means he's already got you. You really need to stand up and give your life to Christ Almighty and get rid of the spooks. That's what I call them, spooks.
Right. Well, they are that. And, of course, I was mentioning earlier, the movies, I think you're right, scared that movie, The Exorcist, with the levitation and the head rotating 360 degrees. I've never seen any of that. I know a levitation does happen here and there, but if it did around us, we'd know what to do about it, immediately take authority, and I think the demons know that, and that's why we seldom see these heavy manifestations. We do have them, but it's extremely rare. We go so many Mondays of ministry sessions, Monday evenings, and we just low-key, no big deal about it, and people yawning some here and there, coughing maybe, burping, where they just feel them come out, but that's no big deal. And everyone that comes out, every spirit that departs, we've seen a person feels better, and that's kind of fun to watch them feel better and better. And by the time we've knocked out several dozen, my goodness, they're on top of the world. And their most common comment, of course, is they say, "I feel lighter." Well, they definitely are spiritually, and even sometimes physically. So, anyway, it's high adventure. And Alan, I thank you for sharing today on. And coming on board, and I hope to see you down here in Oklahoma City. But in departing, do you have anything else you'd like to share to the listeners out there about this subject?
Yes, I do. I have been to Deliverance Ministry on more than one occasion. Of course, obviously, I go back from time to time for a tune-up. But here's my point. I said that to say this. Everett and his team are the most professional people that I have ever been associated with. They know what they're doing. They know how to handle the situation, and there is no need to have any fear or be afraid of removing the spooks. It's just very, very simple. It's painless, and you'll walk away with a smile on your face and a quick step to your feet. It's like you're almost weightless. When you leave, it's remarkable. Yes. I cannot stress it enough how important it is to feel so much better. It's just unbelievable.
And well, brother, some Everett, people even go. Look younger. All right. Well, God bless your brother.
Younger.
Have a good one up there.
Thank you, Alan. Bye-bye. I appreciate your testimony.
You're quite welcome.
You know, that's bye-bye. What he said. Pastor, what he said at the beginning is just something I've heard over and over and over and experienced myself, was newfound confidence and that judgmental spirit was gone. And, of course, he said, didn't want to fist fight anymore. I wasn't the one that always went out and got in fist fights, but I haven't been the arguing spirit that I always want to argue to prove my point. I always had to want to prove my point. And, you get around some friends, sometimes you want to do it just out of fun. But that's just a common testimony that I've heard with others and with myself. So, fantastic testimony. Thank you, Alan. And we have Lily on the line. Lily, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Well, thank you for calling tonight.
Hi, Lily. Thank you for calling. This is Everett.
Hi, Everett.
Yeah, we were talking earlier.
Your other interview there.
Oh, were you? Okay. Well, it is fun to discuss this subject, and because it's such good news for people, it is great to have a mission in your life, you know, and a cause. Well, certainly we all got one. Here it is. To share the good news of this works of Jesus that so many people overlook. As it turns out, the gospel is actually a better deal than many Christian groups realize. They're missing a lot of the better things, and of course, being born again is the most important. But then we got all this other of deliverance and getting rid of these generational things, and it's on so many people. Well, Lily, how about sharing back when you were born again, and then also how it was you heard about this area called deliverance, and any experiences you'd feel comfortable in sharing.
Okay. Well, I was raised in a Assembly of God church, gave my heart to the Lord when I was 9 and knew I really should preach. But then as you went through high school and stuff, that kind of went away. But then back in went to churches and kind of knew about God. And 1980 is when I really got back seriously with the Lord. And it was about 8 years later, I suppose, that I was introduced to this by my sister. And so we studied not your ministry, but they were in your ministry and in Oklahoma City. And was very interested in how people could be delivered of things that caused their lives to be in a shamble. If they would just get some knowledge and reach out to God and let God help them to be able to walk and to do the things that God had called them to do to fulfill his purpose in their lives and in the lives of others. But the thing that I would want to talk about mostly would be soul ties. And soul ties are very, very important. Now, it doesn't always have to be sexual. It can be other things. But I had an ungodly soul tie, and I used the things in your manual back then to actually address the soul ties and to take my authority over them. And I actually experienced hearing that go out through the windows of a Venetian blind. And that was, and I was alone by myself. I learned how. And so it's very important. It's not a one-time thing. And over all these years, I have occasionally done certain amounts of deliverance and going back through it because it's our responsibility to keep ourselves so that we have the peace, joy of God as we walk through
so
this
true.
Life and we can help other people.
Yes. Well, Lily, when you were ministered to, that you came to Oklahoma City, you had some self-deliverance, and then you wound up coming to Oklahoma City at some point, didn't you?
Yes. My sister and I came to Oklahoma City, and we both experienced a deliverance. And for myself, I was learning how that you did deliverance. And I'm not saying that anyone walks through this life totally out of any torment or bondage. And so here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where I live, one of the pastors at one of the churches here and I are building teams and teaching deliverance so that we can see that people can be set free. And I did a deliverance last week with one of my relatives, and he's experiencing some tormenting spirits. And with the knowledge of your books, and he seems to be taking his authority and knowing that he has authority over the tormenting spirits of, he was taking medicine for pain.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. Yeah, spirits of pain and spirits of infirmity, of course, are very, very common. And just as Jesus cast a spirit of infirmity out in Luke 13, 11, and 12, it was in a woman, and he said it was that spirit of infirmity had been in with her these 18 years by Satan. And so we see that there are spirits of sickness that a lot of people have overlooked that we should be renouncing and rebuking and commanding them to go instead of seeking other answers. If it's a spiritual problem, you're going to have to deal with it with spiritual power. And so many people in the body of Christ overlook that, wouldn't you say, Lily?
Yes, I think that's true. And so what we're about is getting the knowledge out, and this person actually had an addiction to the pain meds that he took because of the pain.
Oh.
The pain seems to be mm-hmm. gone, but he's that addiction is there. So there was, you know, a twofold thing. But yes, we all need, like you say, a Jesus overhaul, right?
Yes. Amen. It'd be a rare person that doesn't need a Jesus overhaul at some point in their life, and very few people get it, like we were talking about. Well, Bartlesville is in northeast Oklahoma. You're not far from the Kansas border, are you up there?
16 miles.
Yeah. Beautiful
so
country
really
up there.
We're really close, and we're mm-hmm. really looking forward to being able to see God work in people's lives. And
yes,
that some of that people will be open to that, because it's very hard if you're a Christian for some Christians to actually admit they had a problem and they got rid of it and then go out and actually witness and tell the testimony about how they were delivered. And they've all, most of them have seen the screaming and yelling and throwing them on the floor and hours of that thing. And praise the Lord, that's not the way you do it, Everett.
Praise God for that, because I tell you what, a person would quickly tire of the other. you're not going to do any volume. Yeah, well, if you haven't closed the doors or canceled the assignments coming out of Satan's war room for those demons to be there, they're going to have, they'll be very defiant. And that's what happens with a lot of deliverance ministries. They haven't dealt with the underlying reason the demon is there, the root of it, and cut that root or close the door that it's come through. If you can do that first, since we have ALL power in Jesus' name, they're very easy, as a rule, to cast out at that point. So it makes all
right.
The
now,
difference
in the
world.
Right. Now, I'm a minister, and I've done a lot of outreach in the last 15 years or so, and I've seen a lot of people that you would cast demons out, and they go through deliverance, and they go out, and they don't keep themselves because they don't have enough knowledge, and then you see them again coming back in, and they're worse than they was when they started. So that's my ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, what I see about how you are teaching people. So you're teaching them. Now, whether or not they actually do look at the door closer stuff and the door openers, and they see them and they read them, but they need to go home and study them and actually know that how they are giving the evil the legal right to come in and torment them, and they have to close the door. We can help them, but we can't do that for them. But they have all, we have all power.
Amen. Well, and that's so true. And while we do teach them about the doors, like on Monday nights, that we spend over an hour teaching and talking about the doors and the power that we have, etc., and even how to stay free. There's seven steps for staying free. I go over those with the people and give them a handout.
Yes, and you do that very well.
But, well, thanks, Lily. But people are people, and there are a certain number of people that won't put the effort in to stay free. And they'll let the flesh rise and open doors and what have you. So it, none of us have it down to a perfect science, but we have learned these steps that make it easier, and we can do a volume. We normally do, we had, the Monday before Labor Day, we had, I think it was a total of 13 cases, and we've averaged around a dozen for many decades, and different people often, and mostly, each Monday night. And we did, I think it was, well, it was around 750 cases last year. And it's still a drop in the bucket because the need is so huge. But
Yes, it is, and it's getting more and more. And, you know,
yes.
Just the awareness to help people to recognize and then give them the tools, because they do have all power.
Yes.
Because
yes.
Jesus said that we have all power.
Just think what your group up there could do up there in the Osage country. It's open season, Lily, that's for sure.
That's right. And we see a lot of people when you're talking about the Osage, you know, we see some of them that when they get to the Indian spirits, you know, and I'm not putting anyone down, but they have to recognize how that can block or give a legal right for Satan to tempt them, to torment them, to lead them in the wrong direction, because they're leaving the doors open and leaving a legal right for him to come in.
Yes, and to turn away from the old ways and follow Jesus and the gospel, and that's always a challenge, but it is for everybody. It isn't just the Indian people.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Everybody's
that is
in
one
the same
thing
boat.
That we have seen here in our our building the team is that one thing, and then, you know, people that are willing to actually commit to the number of hours and work to really be free.
Yes.
Well, there
that's
is
some really rise.
There is maintenance to it. It's just like, you know, you get you a car, you can buy a new car, you just can't drive it without ever maintaining it. The same thing with deliverance. I mean, the words of Jesus, whenever he would heal somebody or he would cast out a demon, generally these words followed what he, after it was done, he said, go and sin no more. And that's the key there, is go and sin no more. Because as Miss Lily just said there, sometimes you see people come for deliverance, and then they go out fine, and they come back, and they're worse than before. Well, it does talk about in Scripture about the cast it out, and then they want to come back, and they bring seven of their bigger
seven
brothers worse than them. So, yeah, seven times worse. So, unfortunately, we do have all power and authority over the enemy. We just don't have all power and authority over people's free will. And that's where you just have to make that choice. Once you're free, I'm going to do what it takes to stay free. And that's just part of that free will that God has given us. And that free will is, okay, I'm going to choose life there. I'm going to choose death. And unfortunately, a lot of people will just get a quick fix, and they'll just continue on as business as usual because that one thing's no longer hindering them anymore. So,
one of the scriptures
right, and
I just
want to say also that I did happen to run into a minister that has a church, and I don't have a church anymore, but I'm a little older than some ministers, and I that God put in my path, one that had gone to a deliverance, and we'll get him to give his own testimony one time. So he has a great testimony of how he was delivered 20 years ago and been able to walk mm-hmm. that out. So he's experienced Praise. That firsthand. That's why he is
Praise
heart
God.
Is turned to this.
Praise God. That's great. There's a scripture that I often quote to the people, and it's one of those steps for staying free, and that is Deuteronomy 30:19, which says, "For God has put before us this day life and death, blessings and cursings, therefore choose." And he goes on to say, choose life so that you and your seed may live. We being entities of free choice, it's sad, but we all see it. Some people choose death. They choose cursings when they could have made better choices. But that's self-will. None of us are puppets, and so we're free to choose. But the good news is we can choose life if you're ready, and you can get delivered and get physically healed and all these blessings that Jesus brought to us by his shed blood at the cross. Well, that's wonderful.
And that's
up there
true.
In
you know, Deuteronomy,
it
a lot
like,
of people don't read Deuteronomy 28. It starts out, it tells you all the blessings. And they like that. But they forget to read the, you know, after, I think it's verse 15 or so, and it tells you about all the curses that you can come, that can come on you. And they have all authority over that if they do what God says to do. And some people, we just have to search that out for ourselves, and no one can do that for us. We have to choose life.
Yes. And declare what...
A lot of choices, a lot of choices of blessings and curses. It's just not 28,
but
yes, ma'am. That is something this ministry here, we talk about often, that there are blessings and curses based on your actions.
Yes. Well, praise God. Victory is there for him that will choose. And victory and freedom and healing sure is a better deal than the other. So,
that is so true.
It's there for
us. You know, we want our peace and our joy. You just want to be a light to the world, and so that they can see your peace and your joy. That's how, you know, that you would have something that they want.
Yes.
Amen.
And testimonies are one of those ways when you hear how people's lives turned around by this kind of ministry. You know, I did a local radio show for 22 years, 5 days a week, pre-taped, on a local station here in Oklahoma City, and
uh-huh.
So I have, the whole format was simply, it was just a 15-minute show, and it was, the whole format was to get a testimony of people that have been delivered and healed, and I have hundreds and hundreds of testimony tapes from those years. I've got a few of them on our website, but there's nothing, again, like a testimony where people hear how their life changed. And they can't argue with that. It jumps over the church doctrines that all this has passed away. When you hear somebody tell their story, you can't argue with that.
That's
the best way to tell
it. You know,
just
you see, and Sunday morning, lots of people that are sick, the over and over, and if they just would learn deliverance, what the Bible says about it, and know that they have authority, and look to God instead of other places.
Yes, and of course, unforgiveness is the biggest of those 15 doors, and we see spirits of infirmity use that entry a lot. And so when keep coming back for healing, they need to be checking who it is they need to forgive. Sometimes it's themselves. Sometimes people are blaming God, not thinking about Satan and his spirits of infirmity. And so we run into that quite a bit. Oh, anyway, little by little, we're telling it and getting the word out.
They're either blaming themselves or someone else or God.
Yeah.
And most people are blaming themselves and not recognizing what the consequences are to that.
Yes, they don't understand. As Jesus said in Matthew 18:34-35, if you do not forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors. And certainly spirits of infirmity are torment and other situation. So it's not that hard.
We're about to the end of the broadcast here, so Pastor, I just wanted to give her a few minutes or last few minutes to sum up anything she wants.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lily.
Well, I want to take the opportunity to absolutely declare and decree that anyone that absolutely believes that they have all authority and they dig deep into their lives, because, I've lived over 70 years, and there's lots of things that happens in your life. And you can't get rid of all of them at once, so it's not like a one-time thing. And if they learn some and then they go out and they minister to other people and tell their testimony, that's what keeps you healed, is to go out and teach what you know, not the perfect thing, but the little bit that you know. And the more that you know about Jesus, the name of Jesus, the more that your words count for that person that is looking for some way to have a life that would be calm, peaceful, and that they can do the purpose that God has called them to do on this earth, because we all have a purpose.
Yes. Yes. Well said, Lily.
Amen. Amen. Well, I thank
God for you, Everett, that you have spent time, money, effort, and listened to the Lord to put together a program that would help people to be able to see and do and keep themselves so that they can go out and do what you've taught them to do, because you've given them the tools, like me.
Well, thank you, Lily. It's a blessing. Well, thank you again for calling in and sharing, and I hope to see you here in Oklahoma City before too long.
Well, we certainly want to make a trip, but there are some things that just get in the way sometimes, you know?
Right. Well,
thank you very much.
You have a 5-hour class. It takes us 3 hours to get there and 3 hours to get home. So that's a few hours.
that's true. Well, have a good night, Lily. Bye-bye.
You too, Everett. We thank you and bless you. In the name of Jesus.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Perfect.